Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad that you joined me. We've been ministering on the subject of hope as an antidote to discouragement, one of the most vicious and pervasive attacks that the enemy uses to hinder us in our Christian walk. Haven't you always been so blessed to enjoy the times when you've just felt, on top of the world, and you just felt all things were possible, as Jesus says, everything is possible to him that believes. But then things happen, there's delays, there's postponements, there's difficult trials, and the way gets hard, and it's very easy for us to get discouraged because we're creatures of time. And what we need to do as children of the Most High to realize we are in this world, there's no doubt of that, we realize that, but our citizenship is in another country, and that's why our spiritual walk, the spiritual man, it's so important to allow the spirit man to control and rule our lives, to take authority over the actions of our body and of our mind, the things that we think. We want to conform ourselves to the image of Jesus, and we can't do it just by sheer willpower or by desire. That's why we've got the Holy Spirit, because He enables us to do what's not possible in our own strength. His strength is made perfect, beloved, in our weakness, and one greater than I and you, the brother Paul, learned that secret, and he had many amazing opportunities to demonstrate that. And so, beloved, I'm on this broadcast because I want to encourage your heart, and I'm praying that hope will arise in your heart as never before. Hopes combined with faith that can see mountains moved in the days and weeks ahead of you. Now, we've been looking at a particular passage of scripture I've always loved, Proverbs 13 and 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And most every translation you'll read outside of the Authorized King James will translate that scripture when the longing is fulfilled, when the desire is fulfilled. It's a tree of life. And the modern language says, hope drawn out makes the heart sick, but a longing come true is a tree of life. But beloved, I felt as I read the King James, which has been my Bible, since I think I've been saved, is that there's an accurate and more deeply significant sense of what the Holy Spirit wants for us in the King James, and that is hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And remember that the thing that's key is the definition of desire. That is what hope is. Hope is desire that is accompanied by expectation of fulfillment. It's not true hope unless you really believe it's going to be fulfilled. Now, let me just share some scriptures with you regarding various references, passages in the Bible about the tree of life. In Genesis 2 and 9, the word says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then going on in that same chapter, verses 16 and 17, there's a little stipulation that the Lord gives. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And of course, what did Satan say to Eve? She was deceived, and Adam went right along with her in disobedience. He said, you won't die. You will be like gods, knowing good from evil. Well, no, they didn't die immediately, but they were separated from God spiritually. That's only restored through accepting the salvation that comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They died eventually. They lived hundreds of years, but they did die physically as well. But they did get their desire. They did know good and evil. And you see, that was something God did not want them to experience. And that the sorrow that has been caused by having eaten of that tree, beloved, we have tasted and drunk the cup of evil to the full, have we not? It just breaks the heart. It just turns your every sensibility. It causes you to cry out. Well, I think of that scripture that talks about Lot, who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said the soul of that righteous man was vexed with all the wickedness he saw. And beloved, I think that would apply to you and I today. There's so much evil on the face of the earth. And the Bible says that darkness on the earth grows dark. Gross darkness, the people. And then let's look at another scripture found in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold," isn't that just what I said? "The man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Cherubims are angels, ministering spirits that manifest God's invisible presence and symbolize his action. They were driving Adam and Eve from the garden, and that was both a punishment as well as, we tend not to think of it this way, but it was an act of mercy, lest they should eat of the tree of life and live forever in a state of death and alienation. And of course, even at the time of their disobedience, when the Lord spoke to them, that's when there's the first mention of a Messiah, of one, the seed of the woman who would come and crush the head of the serpent. And that was fulfilled many generations later. But indeed, that did occur through the life, death, suffering, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures say if the demon spirits had recognized what they were doing, they would have never killed the Lord of glory. They really blew it in a really bad way. But they were rejoicing, they were triumphing, and yet that was all part of God's plan, that he had it all worked out from the very beginning. He had every contingency in operation, in plan. And thank God for his love and his mercy that has drawn us to himself. Revelation 2 and 7, "To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." That tree of life is a source of life. It imputes divine wisdom. And then at the very end of the book, Revelation 22 and 2, the word tells us, "In the midst of the street of it and either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Praise God. Oh, beloved, there one day you and I will be able to eat of that tree of life. And I'm so grateful for the Lord that he is imparting a divine hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. And Abraham, as I referenced earlier, and as the scriptures declare, he hoped against hope. I mean, it was beyond, there was nothing in the natural where he could have seen any possible realization of the promise of an heir that God had spoken of. But nonetheless, he believed in hope. And even after that child was born and he grew to be a boy and the Lord asked him to go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there, he knew that God nonetheless would keep his word if he had to raise Isaac from the dead. And of course, you know that God did not allow that. He stopped him at the very last minute when he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Abraham would have done that very thing. The knife was poised. He would have sacrificed his son. And the word of the Lord was, "Now I know of a truth, you fear God and also love God." And because he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, they were in covenant relationship. And you have to understand there's a tremendous amount of significance and meaning and beauty in covenant relationship, because Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son and not hold back, then the father was also willing to sacrifice his only begotten son, Jesus, because of that beautiful covenant relationship that they both had entered into. It was a very sacred and solemn occasion to enter into covenant in those days. And it's a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness in keeping his word to us. Now, let's go on for a little bit. I want to look how hope is related to faith. And of course, perhaps you think of that very well-known scripture in Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith releases the power of God to change circumstances. Isn't that powerful? Don't you want to see circumstances change? Beloved, God wants to stir your faith and hope. Those are given. You see, one of the things we can get so connected, well, I don't have the faith for that. I don't have hope. Well, they're divine gifts. God will release his gifts in your life if you realize he does want to give them to you. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We say that all the time. What does that mean? That means he was the one who gave you faith in the first place. Otherwise, you couldn't have believed. You couldn't have been saved. And so he began that work. And so I refused to feel condemned. Oh, I don't have the faith to believe God for that. No, I do. You have all the faith you need for your life life circumstances right now. He will provide it and he will perfect it. Praise God. Well, my time is coming to a close and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me, and we will, with the Lord's help, conclude this message tomorrow. And in the moments that remain, I do invite you to jot down the contact information the announcer will be giving in just a few moments. And I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. If you're being blessed by the broadcast, I'd love to hear from you. I appreciate you so much, and I pray daily for you. You are in my prayers, my radio family, as well as my dear, beloved UCM partners. God bless you. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.